Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, July 12th, and we are glad you are here because we are glad that we get to talk some wrestling with you. It's been a hell of a week with wrestling, all kinds of stuff going on. We've had the announcement from John Cena that he's calling it a career in 2025. We've had Stephanie Vacker going from CMLL and New Japan to WWE. You have pretty much, they didn't announce it yet, but for the most part, Survivor Series is going to be in LA. It's just a matter of time till they announce it. Just all kinds of stuff going on. All kinds of stuff going on, Maggie. But as I start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
Hanging on by a thread, Robert. There's, you know, some silver lining. On Sunday, it's the final of the Euro Cup.
Nice.
Yes. I do not get it. How, you know, any of these teams got to the finals. But that's on a totally different note. But the better thing is that also Wimbledon is here and it's almost gone. Grigor had to forfeit because he hurt himself, which was pretty sad because, like, all of us were like, well, he was supposed to go to the finals. And I'm like, is this an excuse? Is this an excuse? I know he's been pretty good this past year and a half. Pretty wonderful tennis season he's been having. I'm extremely proud of our Bulgarian national tennis player treasure. But also a lot of stuff ahead. Thankfully, a lot of air conditioning places ahead. Okay, because it's 1,000 degrees. Okay, 1,000 degrees outside, and I almost fainted going to work and from work to my home. I don't know how people get by, okay? I have no idea. And people are lying to themselves, saying, oh, summer is my favorite, season. Fucking wrong. I'm sorry for cursing. It's not even 5 minutes in. You're a liar. You do not love the summer. You were tricked to think so because when you were a kid, this was the only time you were having fun, okay? Yes, Brian, we do have tennis. You jerk, we have wonderful tennis. Yes, so before we get started on the show, I am here to remind all of you, hi guys, fans of Coexisting, please leave a like on the video. It is the best way to support us. It also happens to be a free way to support us. If you like to open up your wallets a bit, You can send a Humper Chat or a Super Chat. A Super Chat is the bottom of the live chat on YouTube. Humper Chat is a chat you can send on humperchats.com. If you happen to be watching our show on any other platform apart from YouTube, any amount will get your question or statement live on the air. It helps us out a lot. Please subscribe to Fightful Select. It is the best $5 you will ever spend on wrestling. A lot of scoops from Sean, from Corey Brennan.
Yeah.
A lot of things happened this past week, Rob. I mean, I was looking at my notes this past week, all of my notes. And I'm like, wow, a lot of things happened.
That is true. It was
a lot of things happened. So if you want us to start, I'm fine.
All right, we can do that. Well, let's go ahead and start with a super chat. And that comes from our good friend Ryan, who says, if I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? Three doors down. I'm alive, and, well, you will be there holding my hand. I hope that's now stuck in your head. No, it won't be. It will be later, though. Thanks. Maggie, you know, usually that you have all the stories, but I have one before we get started. Yesterday, it was pretty warm here in Minnesota, where I live. And I decided, like, hey, I need to get some gas, aka fuel. And I'm like, hey, I'll go to this because I can get one of my favorite drinks called an icy. So while I'm at this gas station getting fuel, I think it's a great idea to just kind of just not really pay attention to anything. And all of a sudden, and I'm trying to get the picture here to pop up because, of course, it's not coming up right now. There was a drug bust going on about two pumps away from me. Like, so this is probably...
What's a drug bust?
It's where the police basically bust somebody selling drugs. Like, somebody that's selling illegal drugs.
But why is it a bust?
That's just what they call it. They bust them.
Okay, like, okay.
I don't know what the hell.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm like finger guns. Boom, boom, boom. I don't know.
Finger bang.
Anyways, that happened. And I usually like, I mean, that's kind of like something. There's like four or five police cars just kind of like right there. And I'm just, you know, it's a little nerve wracking. And my goal was to go into this gas station to go get like an icy, my favorite frozen drink, you know, completely spaced it, forgot about it because I just wanted to get the hell out of there, obviously. And it was just like one of those things where I just kind of went out of my way to get this drink. And then all of a sudden the drug bust happens. And for like four or five cars, just like swarm in, you know, it's kind of creepy and kind of scary or nerve wracking. Dude went to jail, so it was just crazy. I never had anything like that happen before. But
what was the photo you were trying to show?
It was the cops. I took a picture of like the police cars. But I'll show it in a little bit if you want to see it. Either way,
Do you know when mansplainers get their water?
Oh, God. Go ahead.
From a whale, actually.
Jesus, Maggie. That's actually pretty good.
Well, actually.
God.
Yeah, now we can talk about some wrestling. I'm ready now.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Actually.
Well, you know, there was a lot of wrestling this week. Like, you know, we already mentioned John Cena announcing his retirement. You had Stephanie Vacker. Like I said, she's going to WWE now. Just all kinds of things. And then Money in the Bank. You had a hell of a event on Wednesday with Brian Danielson and your guy, Hangman Adam Page, and
for once, you do say your guy, and you're correct.
Yeah, yeah. Hangman but is my guy. There was enforcer, Maggie.
No.
Did you know who that special enforcer was? None other than
JARRED.
Let's start that over.
That's JEFF. JARRED.
Thank you, sir. Yep, he saved that for me. I don't know why I started like towards the end there, but oh well, shit happens. This is coexisting. It's my first day. So would you expect anything different?
I really don't. So I have a question because like he has a whole thing with Jeff Jarrett. Tom. Okay. So is this a normal, you know, video of him saying it from an episode, or did he do it just for you?
No comment. No, I definitely did not DM him and ask him to send me that video. I never would do such a thing. Okay. Sean just did it. Sean did it on his own.
Of course, yeah, you're on thin ice, Tom. I'm gonna go ahead and join Kate's side. Okay, yeah. Because I was kind of rooting for you. Yeah. Now I'm not.
So Jesus. You never know who's going to help me out next week. I mean, you never know who's going to say something next week.
Okay. This is I'm going to quit. Yeah. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to join Alex Pawlowski, okay? Cuz like he's probably the only one who's more tired of Jeff Jarrett than me. Probably the only one.
I don't think that's true, Maggie. I don't think you're going to quit. I really don't see it happening. Because you're a team player.
No. I hate you.
But thank you, Tom Campbell, of what culture? Or
Cultaholic, damn it.
I knew it right when I said it, Cultaholic. So we'll have to go and edit that.
You're thinking of Simon Miller.
I know. Not asked him yet. I have not asked him yet, but he is on the list. I have a list, like a long list of people that I'm going to not ask to do this at all. So we got that going for us for sure. And I'm going to learn how to talk and get names right and where the people work from, where they're at, all kinds of shit before I do that next time. Sure. But let's do this. Let's go ahead and talk about a little Money in the Bank. I got it right this time before we went live, Maggie. I said Survivor Series earlier.
You did. You get to practice your first day every time.
Yeah, it's a hell of a thing. Oh man, it's a new thing. Maggie, on a 1-2, let's not do the stars scale. Let's go with a 1-10 scale. What did you think of Money in the Bank?
Oh, I love the show. I absolutely love the show. It was a banger. The women's Money in the Bank ladder match absolutely stole the show.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, Doc. Please get some sleep.
Doc sends us a super chat, says, I need to take a nap. Just wanted to say hi. Hello, sir. Thank you. Human Tornado gives it an 8. And what would you give it?
I think 8's pretty accurate. 8.5. Yeah. Okay. A pretty decent show. I love that, you know, a part of the Big Four right now is taking place in a different country, because that way, you know, they can test, you know, not going to other countries for, you know, secondary shows. If you understand what I'm talking about, so this is a nice thing. I love that wrestling has been more international lately, and I'm all for that. What did you think about Money in the Bank?
I think the 8-9 scale, or 8 to 8.5 to 9, was perfect. My favorite match was the women's Money in the Bank match. They absolutely just slayed it. They killed it. Chelsea Green. There's a reason why I picked her to win it, because I think she's a star. But I'm okay perfectly with Tiffany Stratton winning, because we already know she's going to be a star. So it was a fantastic match, I thought. I know that people are going to complain no matter what, you know. That's the thing. People are going to complain. I don't know if you're aware of that, Maggie, but they do.
Absolutely.
And this match, when there's that many ladders involved and you have that many people, shit's going to happen. You have to take a chill pill, you know, as they say, relax, enjoy the show. If you're expecting that you're going to get a Okada versus Kenny Omega match with no issues, then you're watching the wrong
match. It's a ladder match.
You're watching the wrong match for all the wrong reasons.
It's a ladder match. It's not ballet. It's going to be clunky, okay?
So it was awesome. It was fun. And that's what you want in wrestling. You want to have a fun match. And that's what we got, you know? That was great. And then I just enjoyed it.
It was an absolutely wonderful show. So what I would like to talk about in the women's Money in the Bank match, because I'm not going to talk about whatever this is. Yes. So I've said this on our show almost every week, I feel like. Chelsea Green is just the best. Worth every goddamn penny that they're giving her. Even more. Okay? Even more. Give that woman a raise, because her comedic timing is a thing of beauty. So she's afraid of heights, right? Mm-hmm. She's a part of the ladder match. And at the beginning, when everyone was fighting around the ring, she was trying to hop and, you know, and reach the briefcase. It was so, so adorable. And then she was trying to bump the briefcase with a ladder and everything. Just, you know, that's absolutely fine. Women destroyed each other. Okay? They just destroyed each other. That gruesome spot with Io Sky delivering a pile driver from the top of the ladder onto the ladder that was set up between the ropes and the other ladder to Zoe Stark. Like, both women sold that perfectly. I kind of felt like Zoe Stark died, but we saw that she didn't, because they did have a thing on Monday Night Raw. I guess that Zoe Stark, Shayna Baszler, and Sonya Deville are now a faction. And I love the fact that we got Sonya Deville back. I can't wait to see where this goes. But yes, the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match stole the show, I felt like, at least for a second year in a row. Because I remember last year's Women's Money in the Bank being way better than the men's. By the way, this doesn't mean that the men's Money in the Bank match wasn't good. I just prefer the women's. I feel like women are getting better and better at this with each and every year. And I love this. Tiffany Stratton winning the Money in the Bank briefcase and her altercation with Trish Stratus backstage. I don't know if this is going to be a thing in the future. I will not be opposed to this, but I'm glad that Tiffany won. I'm wearing a pink t-shirt in her honor, of course. I am expecting her to make it shinier and with glitter and, you know, pink and Barbie font letters and everything. I suppose I'm pretty sure that this is what we're about to get. What did you think of the men's Money in the Bank?
You know, I thought it was okay. I mean, I thought it was pretty, I think it was pretty predictable. I mean, but I think we all had that idea, and I was fine with it. You know, I think what hurt the match or didn't hurt this match per se, but I think what hurt the evening for that was just the title, like, staying where it's at, because I really did not want to see Damian Priest versus Gunther at SummerSlam. It's not because I don't think that they can go. Obviously, they can go. That's not my issue. My thing was, I just think that there would be a better story with Drew, or not, excuse me, I think there would be a better story with, like, Seth Rollins and Gunther. I really was thinking that we were going to get Finn versus Damian is where I thought it was all going, but you never know. You know, the thing is, everything's been surprising, and it's been going really, like, pretty well. I know the pin attempt thing was very odd. Like, that was something that,
oh yeah,
you can't help. I mean, you can't help that stuff. I don't like the fact that they say, well, the referee's decision is final. It's like, well, no, it is, but it's dumb. But I mean, story-wise, they have to keep it this way. So overall, I thought the men's ladder and the ladder match, Money in the Bank match, was pretty solid. I don't really have many complaints, like, at all, like, nothing that comes to mind anyway. So I thought it was solid for the most part. I really think this whole show was solid. So I wanted the title to maybe switch hands more than anything. And that's not, again, an issue with Damian Priest. I think he's been fine. It was just, I was hoping to see more with the storyline going with Judgment Day, but we'll talk about that. And Raw kind of fixed my feelings on that, but we will move into that here shortly. So
the men's Money in the Bank match was absolutely fine. I do feel like they need to make Carmelo Hayes shine a bit more, because I kind of feel like he showed up in this match. Dude took some bumps. Yeah. He took some bumps. I don't think I've ever seen someone suplex a ladder onto someone. Because Chad Gable suplexed a ladder onto Andrade, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. That's pretty great. I mean, I pretty much would want to see Chad Gable suplex a mosquito, because he's gonna make that incredibly amazing. absolutely good. It was absolutely good. I know that a lot of people were saying that Drew McIntyre was gonna win the Money in the Bank briefcase. I bet on Jey Uso. I do see why they made Drew McIntyre the Money in the Bank briefcase holder, because they wanted to further the storyline even more. And that said storyline was Seth Rollins versus Damian Priest for the title. And as you said, Seth Rollins delivered a pretty good picture-perfect Falcon Arrow. And Priest's shoulders were clearly down for the three count, but, like, the ref just stopped counting. So I mentioned this on Love Wrestling's brunch gimmick on Sunday. I saw a lot of tweets from people who said that the entire night they had audio issues with in the building. So I'm just gonna assume that this was an audio issue, that Drew McIntyre's music was supposed to hit right before the three count, and the ref had no idea what to do, and Drew McIntyre didn't kick out. And, like, listen, I'm not a wrestler, I'm not a referee, I have no idea how the business works. You know what I do know is, when people interview referees, they always say that no matter what, they count to three.
Correct.
Like, no matter what happens, if the shoulder is down, they count to three. Now, Damian Priest was supposed to kick out. Even if, like, if the music doesn't hit, just kick out. And what this made me think was that Priest wasn't okay. And I'm like, well, is he injured? Is he okay? Is he there? Because I my first reaction wasn't me losing my mind that the spot was ruined. No. My first thought was, oh my God, is everything okay with Damian Priest? Because like his eyes are open, he's moving, but like, is he there? So I'm pretty sure that this was just an audio issue. Now, they did make comments out of this because on Raw, Seth Rollins told Priest that as good as he was on Saturday, he had to be better at SummerSlam. Priest told him that he knew what the bet was. If Seth Rollins lost the match, he could never challenge for the title as long as Damian Priest has it. But Damian Priest says that he needs to prove a point. He needs to prove that he's better. And that after Gunther, he's going to give him a shot. Which is good. I mean, this in kayfabe, like he didn't say it. But like in kayfabe, he made amends with Seth about that entire situation. So that's good.
Yeah.
But what did happen, actually, what Rob and I are discussing right now is that in the middle of Seth versus Damian Priest at Money in the Bank, Drew McIntyre came out and cashed in his Money in the Bank briefcase, which automatically turned the match into a three-way match, which also includes a no disqualification. So this made CM Punk come out and attack Drew McIntyre, hit him with a belt and everything, and Damian Priest just capitalized on everything and pinned Drew.
Yeah.
And yes, Damian Priest retained his championship. And, you know, this whole thing ended with a shot of Drew McIntyre in the ring holding his neck. And in the background, CM Punk sitting on the announce table. And Seth Rollins is livid because up until that point, Priest and Seth had an agreement that Seth will no longer challenge him for the championship if he lost. So Monday Night Raw starts this week and Punk is there. He congratulated Cena on his retirement. We are going to talk about this shortly. He told us that Drew wasn't in the building because Adam Pearce fined him for, you know, putting his entire elbow in his mouth, you know, at you know, the post show. So Punk asked Adam Pearce to lift his suspension just so he can kick his ass. And of course, Seth Rollins comes out. And I'm like, there you go. Because, like, in my eyes, I don't know about you, Rob, but, like, in my eyes, CM Punk is a little bitch that thinks only about himself. And Seth Rollins told zero lies, not unlike Drew McIntyre. He said, okay, so actions have consequences. You say that a lot, right? Actions have consequences, but never if it's you. Mm-hmm. Like, actions never have... That was pretty good because
Punk was
all about that. Punk was all about that. He was on, you know, Drew McIntyre's face. Like, actions have consequences. Actions have consequences because Drew McIntyre said, I dreamt about this and it happened. I prayed for this and it happened and everything. And CM Punk was like, there's consequences to your actions. And Seth Rollins was like, there's consequences to your actions. So CM Punk is so blind that he wants to cause Drew McIntyre everything. But in that same space, he costs Seth Rollins as well.
He did.
Might as well, if it were a bit different, he could have cost Damian Priest if Seth was the one to capitalize on the entire situation. Either way, he screwed two people. Mm-hmm. And he only meant to screw one of them. So actions have consequences, right? So CM Punk was like, I'm sorry, but having in mind it's you, how sorry can I be? And I'm like, oh my God, this is so happening. This is so happening. I just love that. And
I mean, it's an early prediction right now, but I really, really hope Seth Rollins caused CM Punk in his match against Drew McIntyre. I really hope that's what happens.
Yeah, it can pretty much, I mean, there's zero logic in this match becoming a three-way because Seth Rollins has no beef with Drew McIntyre. I mean, Seth Rollins gave him the nod at WrestleMania when Drew McIntyre beat him. So, like, burying the hatchet at WrestleMania sounds like a pretty awesome thing. So Seth said that he's gonna snap his hand off when he gets cleared. So that's a thing to be looking forward to. What did you think of everything?
Oh, I thought it was
this entire timeline.
I thought it was well done. I thought it was very well done because they made it make sense for why Seth Rollins was pissed. They made that make sense, which was good. CM Punk, he got to be the aggressor even more because for a second you thought it was over. And then he goes, but how sorry can I really be? Like you said.
But how sorry can I be? And I'm like, you asshole.
Made it like even worse. And so that put this feud like up a notch for me. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm ready for this. And I love the fact that it's more than one person is pissed off at him. This is good. This keeps things interesting. And I'm all for it. You know, that's what's really good about this or WWE right now with on Raw. You have Damian Priest. He doesn't know that Finn Balor's pissed off at him, you know, like we know. So you got one guy that's pissed off.
They don't know that we know. They know we know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you got Gunther, who will probably be on Raw this Monday, I assume.
Yeah.
Because they're on the road to SummerSlam. So you're going to start that. So you're going to have one person already pissed off at Damian. So he's going to have two people that he's not necessarily going to be worrying about Finn yet, but in my opinion, he will be soon. So you got that. And then you also have CM Punk, who's going to have to worry about two people. I just really enjoy it. I really do. I like it. And it keeps things interesting, the multiple storylines. And in a way, it's going to tie. It ties everything in together because it all revolves around the world title. I do think Gunther is going to win the title at SummerSlam, just like everybody else. But that reminds me, we were talking about Seth Rollins. So we do have a super chat from our good friend Eric Freed. He says, hi, with the new Captain America trailer dropping, who is on your Mount Rushmore of superheroes? Hope you're both doing amazing. Tag team Money in the Bank, please, in 25. Money in the Bank tag team match would be interesting, but Jesus, that would be a
lot of people.
That would be a lot of people.
A lot of people. Even for AEW, that's going to be a lot of people. You know, back in the in what do they call it? The Daily's Place era.
Oh, gotcha. COVID era.
Pandemic. Yeah. When they had a multi-man tag matches. Oh no! We've seen that enough. Enough. Mount Rushmore of superheroes. Can that include, you know, just mutants? I'm talking X-Men. Are they superheroes though?
Yeah. Basically, he's saying Marvel or DC Comics or Image Comics, if that's what you're into.
I know that I usually piss a lot of people off on these shows or pre-shows or whatever, but I will not be mentioning neither Superman or Batman because I am not that big on either of those. I get it. A dude playing dress up with all his money, that's fine. I'm not saying that Batman is a bad story. Like I love the Batman movies, okay? But my Rushmore of superheroes. Okay, so Deadpool's obviously there. Rogue from X-Men will always be there. really, because I'm fighting all my urges to name just X-Men mutants because I fucking love X-Men.
That's, hey, if that's what you want, go ahead and live it up. It's your list.
Yeah. Wolverine, obviously. And I'm going to say Darth Vader because he's super.
Darth Vader. Okay.
Darth Vader is a superhero, okay? I might as well put Darth Maul there, but like, he got beaten by Padawan, okay? So I'm not gonna, you know, say Darth Maul. Yeah, so Wolverine, Rogue, Darth Vader, and what was the first one I said? Deadpool. Yeah, there Deadpool. You go.
So mine would be, not in any particular order, for Marvel, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Captain America, and probably, I really like Nova. Nova's pretty cool. For DC, it would be Batman, Flash, Hal Jordan, who's Green Lantern, and Green Arrow. And then
okay.
For villains, Dr. Doom, the Joker, Dr. Octopus, and Magneto.
Oh, Magneto.
Yeah, instead of Nova, it's definitely Cyclops.
I hate Cyclops.
Yeah. It's fucking Jim Lee Cyclops. Like, that's what I'm talking
about.
Okay.
Okay.
So, and my favorite artist is Todd McFarlane. So there you go.
I love questions like that. Send us more super chats, people, for questions that aren't related to wrestling. It's because like we have to talk about wrestling a lot. Yeah, so talking about the Judgment Day, stuff happened at the end of Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. Okay, so after the Judgment Day had their match against Awesome Truth, I'm just going to slide this thing right in there, and I'm not talking about anything okay. that happened after that. Yeah, no. But congratulations to DIY for becoming SmackDown Tag Team Champions. I'm so glad DIY did it in Canada on last week's SmackDown. I'm so grateful. Those championships look way better than the ones on Raw. I'm just going to mention this because it was something special for me. And I'm sure that it made a lot of people cry, just like it made me, because they did a shatter machine. They did a shatter machine. And I'm like, Revival! Yes! Yeah, so...
Fuck the Revival.
Fuck the Revival, yes. So, after the Judgment, they had their match against Awesome Truth. They go backstage and walk in to Liv Morgan stretching Dominic Mysterio. Because like they, you know, slit and like no. it was nicely done. And they were stretching because of their match that they had at the end of the night. Liv Morgan and Dominic Mysterio teaming up against Rey Mysterio and Zelina Vega. Of course, Liv Morgan provided the distraction of the referee just so Dominic can pin his dad. So right after the match, they were celebrating. So she jumps into his arms and they fall to the mat. And they almost kiss. I swear, they sold it so good. It's as if it was a Hollywood movie. They sold it so good. And the cameraman had such a good angle of it. This was cinema. And right as if, right at the moment they were about to kiss, this is my brutality. And I'm like, he's so toast. And Liv Morgan, of course, runs away as if she's being chased by the devil himself or herself, whatever you want to believe. So Rhea Ripley comes to the ring and she didn't do anything harmful to Dominic Mysterio, but like he knows that he's about to get it. because her eyes told a whole damn story. This was so good. I cannot wait for next week's Raw. But I'm just so excited because I couldn't remember the last time Raw ended in such a wonderful, wonderful cliffhanger that I wanted to tune into next week so much. I love, they told the story, okay? Like, they took advantage of a horrible situation, Rhea Ripley getting hurt, you know, kayfabe, and in real life. Like, they made this whole thing into a story. It was a freak accident. She got injured in the same, you know, segment that Liv Morgan attacked her, and it wasn't supposed to be real, okay? None of it is. But, like, they took advantage and told a story, a wonderful story. Because, like, both Raw and Dynamite being main evented by women, it's always going to be something that I'm craving for. Tell me everything and all the emotions that this made you feel.
Well, I laughed because I had a big feeling earlier, like in the day, based on what was going on. I had a feeling that she was going to show up, just based on what I was hearing. So I didn't want to get my hopes up too much. And by the time that it was getting so close, I was just kind of like, okay, well, that was wrong. And then all of a sudden her music hit. I was like, hell to the yes. I loved it. And I love Dom's reaction. I think Jimmy Vance said it best on the hump on Wednesday, that Dominic Mysterio is so damn good, like at what he's doing right now.
I really hate to say it, but he is.
Yeah, just the whole thing was just fantastic. And I really did not, I'll be the first one to say, I was not going to give them credit for this. I thought it was a disaster the way they were going into this. I'm like, nobody wants to see this. And they made it interesting.
Everyone wants to see this.
Well, I know, but like at the beginning, like I was just kind of like, I don't think this is going to work. That's how I felt. Like I really felt that way. And then it got better, because we all knew that Liv really had no desire to be around Dom. She just liked getting to, she just wanted to egg on Rhea while she was gone.
Egg on.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like, just kind of like just kind of like putting it out there, like, come and get me. I'm just kind of irritating you type thing. Like, just putting it.
Is this what that means, to egg on someone?
Kind of. That's the way I always assumed it is. Maybe if I'm wrong, then I've been thinking it's the wrong definition, but I've always gathered it to be that way. Like, you're just egging them on to, you're trying to get them to crack, basically. That's the way I've always. That's the way I look at it.
Urge or encourage someone to do something that is usually foolish or dangerous.
Yeah, which is...
The more you know, okay.
Yeah, and knowing half the battle, G.I. Joe. You should know that too, in case you didn't. Did you know that, Maggie?
Sure.
Okay, well, I'm just letting you know. I'm a team player here.
Okay.
But yeah, it was good. It was... I just enjoyed it, and Carlito makes it really good too in those segments.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
Everyone's been playing their roles magnificently.
Yeah, so that's really all you can say. I'm very eager to see what way they go with Finn, because we saw what Finn said. Whatever you say, boss, or something like that. Whatever you say, boss.
So good.
Ooh. Speaking of that, did you see that Finn Balor made comments? This is off topic. Finn Balor made comments that during the pandemic, when they were supposed to do NXT Dublin, I think. Was that the one that was canceled because of the pandemic?
I have zero memory, Rob.
There was an NXT UK takeover that was canceled because of the pandemic. Okay. Finn said it was supposed to be him versus Edge at that takeover. Whew. I was like, damn.
Was it?
Well, that they never, like, it never that feud never started because of the pandemic.
Was it supposed to be him against Walter?
No, he said in an interview recently that it was going to be him and Edge.
Okay. So,
I was going to bring that up, but I haven't
talked to you. Didn't they fight each other?
Yeah, at WrestleMania. Yeah. Not WrestleMania 39, but this was like before.
Okay.
So.
It's going to be a pretty wonderful match because it was going to be an NXT there, UK because it
there
was.
It is.
Yes.
2020. Bless you. Hey, she hit mute. Wow.
I saw it coming a mile away.
What she said. Anyways.
Yes. Moving on to John Cena.
Jonathan Felix Cena. That's his middle name. Do you know that? Felix?
Felix.
Yeah, Felix. F-E-L-I-X. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I just...
I'm just gonna ban you from you know spelling names all around. Okay, like is this gonna be okay? Just never spell names. Okay.
Why?
Because of the double J thing. Okay, you made it into a horrible thing.
F-E-L-I-X. I've popped myself. Hello, Jackie Rodriguez. Thank you so much for your super chat. I'm irritating Maggie like normal, but what else is new, right? Dropping a super chat to show some love to you both on this lovely Friday. Have a great show. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day, sweetie. You are pretty. Your hair is like the fire that we are having outside in this horrible heat wave, but it's amazing, like your face. You're adorable. I love you and I miss you. And please sing, okay?
Don't cry for me, voice. Argentina. Oh, you were talking about her. Okay, gotcha.
Sing for me, not cry for me, Argentina. Don't sing for me, Argentina. Please, never ever until you win a Euro Cup.
Yeah. Okay, John Cena announced.
Yes. Wow, that was a horrible detour.
Let's move on to John Cena here. John Cena was obviously at Money in the Bank in Toronto, and he said that 2025 will be his last Royal Rumble, his last Money in the Bank, his last WrestleMania. So next year is the year he's going to be doing a tour, you know, like going on a tour.
Copying Bryan Danielson.
I look at it more like copying Sting more than Bryan Danielson, because Bryan Danielson really hasn't done much, you know, like said much. No, you don't know what I'm saying is he hasn't said much. No, about
I know what you meant, but like, listen to how it sounds.
No, I know. Like out of context, that sounds awful, but that's not what I meant whatsoever.
I know.
It's more. I look at it more like a Sting thing, and why not, man? Get people to go to those shows.
It absolutely worked on me. It worked on me because, like, I was sitting there watching Money in the Bank, and I was like, okay. I knew that this day was coming sooner or later. John Cena has pretty much done everything there is to do in wrestling, for wrestling, and for, you know, people, fans of wrestling, for wrestlers themselves, for wrestling companies, Make-A-Wish, whatever. He's done it all. So it's pretty obvious that he's closer to hanging it up than he is to the beginning of his career, obviously. So he says, I'm retiring. Like 2025 will be my last year that I'm going to wrestle. And next year's WrestleMania will be my last. And I'm like, well, shit. And this means that I'm going to have to see John Cena wrestle.
Do-do-do-do.
Yeah, because I can't call myself a wrestling fan without seeing John Cena wrestle, because I'm absolutely sure when I say this that at one point of every wrestling fan's life, we have all booed John Cena. At one point of our lives, every one of us has booed John Cena.
I am guilty of this.
Yes, me too. Like, I booed the crap out of John Cena for years. It was not until he disappeared for like a long time. Then when he came back and I was like, oh man, I think I actually missed the guy. And it was also around the time when WWE was struggling a lot. And then I realized, okay, they need the guy. Oh, they obviously need the guy. I realized how special John Cena was probably during his feud with AJ Styles, his match at the Royal Rumble. We all remember that match. It's one of my favorite AJ Styles matches in WWE.
What year was that? 2016? 2015? Whatever, I can't remember what year that was. But
I cannot remember that what year that was.
I think it was 2014.
But no. It is their only match at the Royal Rumble, if this will help. I think it was 2015, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I'm going to look here.
Yes, please. So seeing John Cena has to be a bucket list for me now. I have a year, and if... I mean, they have to put John Cena on all their pay-per-views now. They really need to. And if they have a pay-per-view in London, I suppose that I have to go.
London.
I cannot miss John Cena wrestle. I owe it to myself as a wrestling fan to see John Cena wrestle. I need to shout at the top of my lungs, John Cena sucks, okay? I really need, I owe it to myself.
2017.
Okay. Close enough, okay? It was close enough.
See, there we go.
See, this is why we need you in the chat, Jade. This is why, also, you're adorable, okay?
So, but yeah, like that was his best feud, in my opinion, since or AJ Styles and Kevin Owens and CM Punk has been his best feuds, like in the past 15 years.
Kevin Owens when he was holding the NXT Championship, and when he stepped on the United States Championship, oh, that was so good.
Yeah, those were his best feuds. I mean, don't get me wrong, like Randy Orton. Will probably, I think, go down as one of his biggest and best, obviously, and Edge too. Him and Edge, man, those were some great matches. But who do you think, if you were to predict right now, who do you think Cena's last match at WrestleMania will be, and who do you think his last match will be against?
Oh, okay, because those are two totally different things.
We asked the hard-hitting questions here.
Yes, of course. I do feel like they'll want to break the feud. Never say that again, ever. Get out. Get out. Out you go, please. Yeah, so I do feel like they're going to want to break the record. I think they're going to have John Cena win the Rumble. And I feel like he's going to win the championship. Which one? I have no idea. What?
I think it's going to be the one that like Damian Priest is holding right now. That's what I see. I don't see him getting involved.
Well, you do know that there's no way Cody Rhodes doesn't want a match against John Cena.
Yeah, I know.
There's no way.
Yeah, well, everybody wants one, man. Like,
yeah, like, I mean, coming out of the woodwork. CM Punk threw his name into the hat. I'm sure Cody Rhodes is right up there. But for me, there's one person I want to see John Cena wrestle, and that's Carmelo Hayes. I feel like this will mend some wrongs they did with Carmelo Hayes. I understand that the Money in the Bank match was a brilliant way for them to correct a lot of things that they've done with Carmelo Hayes, but like, I feel like I'm the one of the very, very few people who remember the men's Money in the Bank match with Carmelo Hayes, because everyone's talking about the Drew win and the Drew cash in later on in the show. No one's talking about Andrade. No one's talking about Carmelo Hayes. Mm-hmm. And I know that this is what you get when you have that amount of star power in a match, because there's a huge storyline with Chad Gable. There's, you know, a storyline with Drew. You know, it's, I feel like they both got lost in the shuffle. Yeah. However, they correct the things with Andrade is a whole different situation. I hope they do. But Carmelo Hayes, and I will never stop saying this, but his exit in feud with Trick Williams on NXT did a lot for Trick Williams, and it did nothing for Carmelo Hayes. Absolutely nothing. The crowd adored him. The WWE universe adored him. And I feel like they forgot what he was all about. And in the snap of a finger. So I do want Carmelo Hayes to get the John Cena rub. I really do. I want to forget the whole theory thing ever happened from last year's WrestleMania. I really do. So hopefully, yes, Carmelo Hayes, please. I mean, please. And actually, if it happens this way, and if Ricky Starks ends up in WWE, give him John Cena too. Ricky Starks versus John Cena is going to be a slapper of a match. And only if Ricky Starks ends up in WWE. But I see no way in which Cody Rhodes doesn't get a match with John Cena.
Yeah. You know, the thing is like, if it's a last match, like right now, if you were to ask me, it's really hard to say because I don't know where they'll be. I would be completely okay with it being Carmelo Hayes because I love Carmelo Hayes. I could see it being Braun Breaker. I could see it being Obafemi, like more of the than Braun Breaker right now. That's just my opinion. You just don't know. But I know it's going to be exciting to see, and I know he's going to be on the tour, and I'm going to take any advantage I can. I hope to see him. I know they announced a lot of shows today, and they have two shows. Like they'll be here for Raw in 2 weeks from Monday. He won't be ready for that one, but he'll be at, they announced SmackDown for Minneapolis in December. So I'm hoping that's when he's in by then. So I'll hopefully go to that is what I'm hoping. So,
okay.
But yeah, that's the goal. Now, moving on to another WWE topic before we move on to talk about AEW some. Stephanie Backer. Oh, sorry. Yeah, since I skipped ahead here, let's just go ahead and talk about Stephanie Backer because she's going to NXT. So we'll go into that. Stephanie Backer signed with NXT within the past week. Stephanie Backer, hell of a wrestler. A lot of people are up in arms because she offended them by signing with WWE.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's awful. Somebody that's getting to do something they've always wanted to do. But it was just announced a few minutes ago that she will be at the live events in Mexico this week. WWE's Espanol account announced that she would be at the live events in Mexico this weekend. So that's pretty cool. I don't know if she'll be wrestling or just making appearances, but They did announce that they are going to be in, I think, Monterey was one of the cities I saw, I believe. And the other one is Mexico City. So Mexico City on Saturday, Monterey on Sunday. So that's pretty cool.
I love that.
Yeah, she'll be there.
Yeah, I'm glad that, first of all, if you're a weirdo on the internet.
What the hell is the internet?
Like, why did she sign there? Or, oh, another L for AEW. Shut the fuck up, okay? This isn't about AEW. This isn't about anyone apart from Stephanie, okay? She got a really good showing against Mercedes Moné at AEW Forbidden Door. And this is what opened WWE's eyes towards her. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Mordor Eye, you know, in Lord of the Rings. Oh, I can see you now.
You know,
I'm sure the Doc will appreciate the reference when he wakes up and watches the show.
Yeah, he's a big fan of that Frodo guy. So yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, best character on the show.
Yeah, he's gonna drop some F bombs, but. That's okay though. I adore
the fact that obviously people are being weird for stuff that happened in real life too. I mean, imagine if you're someone looking for a job and you're good enough for a lot of companies that hire people like you. Okay, so which company will you choose? This isn't rocket science, guys. You will choose the company you A, want to, B, offers you more money, C, more flexible time if you have family or whatever. It's all on you. You are the one who gets to decide because this is your livelihood, okay? This is your job. This is your body on the line because this is what wrestlers do, put their body on the line. I don't understand why people are being weird. Like, you can be... By all means, you can be disappointed that you won't be getting Stephanie versus Jamie Hayter someday when Jamie Hayter is cleared to compete. You can be pissed off that you're not getting Stephanie versus Britt Baker or like all of these amazing female wrestling talent that's in the AEW roster. You can be pissed off, but not sound like a total douchebag about it. I mean, I don't know, just don't be weird. I know that that's a hard thing, but just don't be weird, please. Like, this is normal things from day-to-day life. Just don't be a dickhole, please.
Yeah.
Let's talk about wonderful things that are happening to our friends, Rob.
Yeah, let's do that. One last thing before we move on to quick SmackDown preview. Solo Sikoa and the Bloodline will be on tonight. You also have Tiffany Stratton celebrating her Money in the Bank victory. So like you said, hopefully we will see a briefcase that's all designed by Tiffany herself, you know, so I'm hoping we see that. You have Legado del Fantasma taking on Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews, Meechan taking on Nia Jax, and DIY defending their titles against A-Town Down Under.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. So yeah, now let's talk about a friend real quick. Dun dun dun, which means it's Cooper Effect time.
Yes.
Here we go, maybe. So, Maggie, our friend, Seahawk, aka Cameron Hawkins, has a new project that he's been working on that was released today, and it is something that you can get off of a link that I'll share here very soon here, but it's basically a little special he did called the Next Up Lineup, or the Lineup Next Up. I think it's the Next Up Lineup. Anyways, it features stories and basically information on Daniel Garcia, Trick Williams, Kevin Knight, Jordan Grace, and Hyon. So Cameron, who he says, thanks, man. Cameron is just a wonderful guy. He's one of my favorite people to, if you ever pay attention to my Twitter account, which I hope you don't. if he's somebody I talk to a lot, or I interact with a lot. He's just a great person, and he's even a great writer, even better writer. He writes for The Ringer. He's just a very overall smart guy. We did a podcast for a couple weeks called...
He's really well-spoken.
Oh, he's very well-spoken.
Yeah.
One of the best that I've seen, like, in this crazy wrestling space. Media. Yeah, this space, unlike me, not very well-spoken. Anyways, he did this with Lauren, I think it's Moran, and she is a wonderful artist, as you can tell by the art. Like, she did the art. I mean, that's good stuff, pal. But, and it, he basically took this off of The Usual Suspects, and the story, what it is he's, the easiest way to explain it is it's $5 if you want to get it. And what you get is, it's a dossier of five of today's hottest wrestlers, all poised to make their, all going towards superstardom. You'll get portraits, Polaroids, and details you never knew about some of the best and upcoming in the game of pro wrestling. So it is really good. I got to read it yesterday. It's fantastic. And you need to follow Seahawk if you don't on Twitter or X at Seahawk.
Absolutely.
Just a wonderful person. And I told him I wanted to promote this. So check it out. It's definitely worth it. And he's the reason we're doing the Cooper Effect, because he's just overall a person that's hilarious. He's smart. And he's just an overall good person. I know people like getting involved with his Twitter, and some people like to try to get him going. But the best thing is you're not going to get him going. Like, I mean, he brings it back, and he educates you. And he works in the education like system, like in college in Texas, but he's not a teacher, but he damn sure is on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, he's that damn good just talking. So just wanted to plug him on that and tell you to check out his work. And I will, of course, put that link in the chat here in just a second. So I just want to, again, give him a shout out and say check that out for him. He's great.
We adore Cam here.
Yeah. So the link's in the chat now if you want to check that out. The usually I wouldn't answer this, but it was something I did want to bring up. WWE and Call of Duty are doing some kind of crossover. I know you play Call of Duty every time.
Oh, but yes, I know what this is.
It's a video game.
Okay.
So I don't know much about it yet. I know it was announced today. I don't know if it's going to be like levels, or if you get to use wrestlers, or if it's just like wrestlers t-shirts you get to wear. I don't know what it entails, but Call of Duty is popular as hell. It's one of the biggest video game franchises in the year. Like, of all time, I mean, when it comes to money, so you can't go wrong there. You know, like, just having some kind of agreement. I mean, WWE did it with Fortnite. WWE is doing it with Call of Duty. I just can't wait till you can start stealing cars with somebody in WWE on Grand Theft Auto.
Let's not do that.
Well, let's do it. Come on. Come on.
let's not do that. What? Okay, moving on. What did you think of Heatwave?
Heatwave. One of the best. It's easily, like, since I've gone to the PLE era, it's NXT's best PLE in years, ever since they've gone. It's the best one, in my opinion, since the pandemic. That's how good it was, in my opinion.
Well, I did not expect this answer, because it was a pretty decent pay-per-view in my eyes. Nothing big for me, but, like, I'm so glad that you enjoyed it so much. So let me ask you, what did you think of Kalani versus Sol Ruka?
Everyone was crapping
on the match, and I think that they stole the show.
They were awesome. The thing is a lot of people were comparing it to Will Ospreay and Ricochet.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, from that's
really?
From the perspective that they were doing, like, some of the moves and stuff. That's what they were saying. The thing is, they're two separate people. They're not Ricochet. They're not Will Ospreay. They're two different people. They went out there and they kicked ass, in my opinion. They had a hell of a match. They had the best match on the card. That's my opinion. I don't like comparing wrestlers to other wrestlers. I don't like comparing matches to other matches. I just don't. That's just me. So, like, when you do that, you kind of get let down from other people. If people think that they're going to get that kind of match, you're just kind of, like, letting them down. That's why all this... All these, like even match, like, ratings and stuff, it's all, like, from your point of view. I saw people getting mad today at Dave because of what he rated this match. No offense to Dave, but I don't, even if Sean put a rating out there, I don't care. It's my rating. Like, I view wrestling the way I like it. If somebody wants to give a match 5 stars, they give it 5 stars. I think the best match of all time, if I was to say it, was Diesel versus Bob Backlund at Madison Square Garden. It ended in 4 seconds or 5 seconds, maybe 8.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'm joking, but I mean, it's just all whatever you want to, whatever you think. It's subjective, and that's what it comes down to. It's your preference. One thing that I always say is, so I was going to tweet this out the other day. Maggie, sometimes people, I don't know if you've noticed this, and I've said this before on this show, people are weird. I got an email the other day. I got an email. An email.
Okay.
And it was somebody.
I know what it
is. Okay, like, what? I was like, I don't know. Maybe they don't have email in Bulgaria. Who knows? Anyways. Sorry, that was for Ryan. Anyways, it was somebody complaining about the show. They said I was boring. And
they sent you an email?
An email. Yeah. No idea. But it is what it is. My thing was, you know, I might be for your taste, but other people like me.
Yeah.
So, they said, I think it's personally kind of weird for you to just email somebody to tell them you don't like them. But
yeah, that's who does that?
I don't know. I replied and said, best of luck. Thank you for nothing is basically what I said. And I did say, thank you for nothing. I didn't even need to respond, but I wanted them to know that I saw it. And basically it is what it is. That's their opinion. They could think anything when it comes down to it. The match, how I feel about it, and how you feel about it. If we agree, cool. If we don't agree, cool.
That's the thing about subjective.
Yeah. That's why, like, even with going back into the Stephanie Vacker stuff, so many people were just, like, offended that she signed. And I agree. I know. I understand what people are saying. The way that the CMLL, like, title stuff, the way she left.
Yeah, people the don't fact like that it. She just, had to cancel dates that people
that.
Paid money for her to see her, that is valid. If they're bitching, okay, not bitching. Yeah. If they're complaining about that, I get it, and that's a valid complaint. I'm talking about complaining that she went to WWE as opposed to AEW. This is what I'm talking about. Continue.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest issue. Like, I get that complaint, but the people that say that are personally offended that she would do such a thing, that's because you want her to go there doesn't mean that's what she wants. It's I look at that like Edge. Like, there are people that were mad at Edge for going to AEW. These people get to do what's best for them. They get to do what's best for their family. So the fact that people are upset with her because she used AEW, what do you think all the, if you say that she used AEW, what the hell do you think all these other people have done? They've used WWE, if you want to look at it that way. If you want to look at it that way. I don't. I think it's ridiculous to look at it that way. Because, like wrestling, now granted, AEW has not been like this or nearly like this, but WWE has proven that they can kick your ass to the curb with no care in the world, you know? Like, it's like, not making money for us, you're gone, you know?
Yes.
That happened in society today with, like, you can lose your job. You don't owe loyalty yet, unless you feel like it, but other people, if they don't think that they deserve, you can't, I'm kind of, like, fumbling over my words, but you can't be upset because somebody else makes a different decision than what you would make,
and
in my opinion.
It means nothing for you. It means nothing for you. Like, that decision does not concern you. That decision is only up to them because it's their life, their body that they're putting on the line, their families, their career, their everything. None of this concerns you, the fan. You weirdo. You absolute fucking weirdo.
So I think it's great that she gets to do what she wants to do. And I hope every wrestler gets to do what they want to do because they have that power now. So if Natalya, I don't know, like, so, granted, we're going to be talking about money in, or AEW here in a second. Mercedes Moné has a open challenge for anybody on the roster. What if Tony Khan signs Natalya this coming week? Let's say she's...
Shout out to our friend Corey Michaels for another viral tweet when we're talking about Natty.
Yeah, so it's just, it's stuff like that. Like, I mean, if that's what she wants to do, more power to her. I thought she would always have a job, like, with WWE. And maybe she's resigned. I don't know, but I'm just saying, I could see the way it was worded, anybody on the roster. I thought that was kind of weird. And I could see, I'm just saying, I think that's kind of weird for her to say it that way. So I could totally see it be somebody new. I think it's going to be somebody that we haven't seen before. It could be... Camille. It could be Camille. She's been on the roster for a while that they haven't used. I think she would be great. We just don't know who it's going to be. But we've always said this, whatever is best for the wrestler, whatever is best for their family, we're all for it.
Somehow, wrestling is always fun to watch when wrestlers are having fun themselves, because it's kind of contagious. You can always tell when the wrestler is into the thing that they're doing. And I don't know who. Why am I hearing my voice back?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know if any of the participants in the Jericho Learning Tree are enjoying whatever the hell they're doing, because I'm absolutely not. Because apparently a forklift threw a wall which was made out of cardboard, obviously. That was such a poor spot, by the way. Apparently this causes the match to end, because Aubrey obviously knew what was about to happen to her at the end of the show. So she says, I don't give a crap about this. And then she just makes the match, you know, end. I am so not enjoying this. I know that, No, shout out to our friend SP3. He's having so much fun. He adores the learning tree. Steven Jensen adores the learning tree too. I'm glad that people are enjoying this because this is my pee break, okay? I hope that they do this at Wembley just so I can go fucking pee, okay?
So
I hope that they do.
You know, this is after that match, that was the first time where I felt like Chris Jericho was the best heel that was his best performance, like from an acting standpoint, that he's done in this whole learning tree. Like the way he acted at the end, like that just maniacal look.
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic, but also
that was good.
But I'm also kind of like, okay, where is this going? I saw somebody say that
Ricochet.
Oh God, I don't want that at all. I don't want Ricochet.
I said
anymore.
That last week, Robert.
I know. I'm just saying it makes it worse. I don't want to hear it again.
Ricochet is going to be a part of the learning tree experience.
God, no. Don't do that to that poor man. Don't do that to that poor man. That'd be
He's
awful.
He's here for the young guys, Rob.
Yeah. God.
If you want, we can talk about the wonderful way that Dynamite ended, actually, this week.
Yeah, we do need to talk about the Hangman stuff, too, because...
Yes, we can. So, Danielson versus Hangman happened. It was the Owen Cup final for the men's side. Bryan Danielson did win the match. So, he will face Swerve Strickland at All In, officially. But this did make Hangman pretty pissed. So, he went backstage, knocked on the Elite's door. Knock, knock, knocking on the Elite's door. That sucks. So he said, I'm in. I do feel like inevitable Hangman versus Okada match is coming. But that's for, you know, the future.
Give me Okada versus Hangman at All In.
Yes, please. I mean, I'm sure that that's where we're heading. So what he was referring to is the fact that he's in on the Blood and Guts match, because Swerve did finally say officially that he's going to be a part of Blood and Guts. And this is the only way Hangman could get his hands on Swerve.
Correct.
So that's a wonderful thing. The other weird thing is that they're having MJF versus Ospreay next week on Dynamite 250 for the International Championship.
Uh-huh.
So, is this match going to be at Wembley, or is it not?
I don't know now. I really
this
thought that was
weird. This is weird. Why are they having this match now?
But I know one thing.
So sure.
Yeah, it puts my theory about Ricochet and Will Ospreay back on the table for All In, though.
Like, yeah.
And it still keeps the option open for Daniel Garcia versus MJF at
MJF, yes.
If they go that route. No, I thought it was great, and I liked how Hangman said he would do it. So we know those are the four so far. They have to add one more, correct? So to make it 5-on-5. We know Swerve has himself, and it based on Darby Allin's actions of attacking Brandon Cutler, I assume he's the second guy. Who do you think will be the fifth guy for the Elite? And who do you
Is
think
it going to be 5-on-5?
I assume it's going to be 5-on-5.
Because were there...
Oh, wait, never mind. That is... I forgot about Jack Perry. So there's your five.
Yeah, Jack Perry. Yeah,
yeah. I completely spaced because I didn't think about him. So there's your five.
It's five.
Yep. So
we have Swerve, Darby, allegedly.
FTR, I think.
And hold on, let me finish. Why are you so sure?
I'm not. That's not
like
it's not going to be Shane, man.
Talking about this, like I'm. Why are you doing this to me?
I'm not. I just posted that on there because I thought it was funny.
No, I'm speaking to the people.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least if you're gonna be that cruel to me, at least send it in a super chat, just so I can, you know.
Hey, Maggie, here's the question. Would you rather be Shane McMahon or...
No.
That's J-E-double-F. J-A-double-R-E-double-T. Ha,
ha. You know what? Jeff Jarrett is going to be a part of this match. I'm absolutely sure, and I'm going to die of boredom. Because of everything that happened with Hangman, before Hangman went to the ring for his match against Brian, he spat in Jeff Jarrett's feet. And I was like, there you go, my man. As if I needed to love Hangman more.
And you know what, Maggie? This match is in Nashville.
I know. That's why I think it's going to be Jeff Jarrett. So
I'm all for it.
I do, and the stupid thing is that I do actually think Jeff Jarrett is gonna take the win for the match for the AEW team, but I hope not. So let's talk about wonderful things now.
So my prediction for this match is FTR, Jarrett, Allen, Swerve versus the Elite and Hangman.
I hope it's FTR because I don't want the Acclaimed anywhere near this because Jeff Jarrett is enough, okay? Jeff Jarrett is enough. let's talk about the women.
All righty. Maggie, Toni Storm. Oh, shit, that's right. Briscoe's already entrant. Is he?
Oh, yeah, he is. He was the first one to enter the AEW team.
That's right.
Thank you, Soupy.
So maybe it's not FTR. Because I think Jarrett's in. I do. I honestly think Jarrett's in. And if you saw the picture I saw of Cash Wheeler the other day, holy shit, I think he's in. My God. Dude put on some muscle while he was gone. Anyways, going to the main event, Mariah May versus Willow for the Owen Hart Women's Memorial Cup. This match was something else. It
was a pretty
solid match. You had Chris Statlander get involved, which I liked the way they...
dressed in a hoodie.
Yeah, I enjoyed how they did this. I thought it was great. I thought the whole segment, exactly what Soupy said here, top to bottom, even the storyline from the very beginning when they brought Mariah May in, it's like she knew what she was doing the whole time. And I absolutely love that. And I think this whole thing was great. The biggest thing that I don't think people are talking about is I put it in our thumbnail. Toni Storm did not watch out for the shoe.
A lot of people said that.
I know. I'm just trying to make myself sound smarter. Okay. That's all. I need my help.
You are smart.
I know.
Sound smart. You are.
Okay. Well, anyways, I loved how they did that. The shoe played a big part. I think that was absolutely brilliant. And kudos to AEW because this was fantastic. I was going to say something else beforehand, but it was good. And they need stories to bring people in, and this story brought us in. And I am very curious to see which, I think Doc said it, maybe it wasn't Doc, I don't know, and I know it wasn't you who said this, I do know that, but somebody said like they want to see what character Toni brings out next, like for this series or for this feud, because right now it's very like all about Eve, the way the story has been going, like the movie is based off that. And Tony Khan has, I believe, said that's one of his favorite movies. So I'm kind of curious to see what, like, actress she or movie she kind of, what direction they go. I'm very anxious to see this. What did you think of all of it?
So this storyline has pretty much been my favorite storyline in AEW, easily, most recently. And I am so proud of absolutely everyone involved in this build-up, in this story, and everything that contributed to the way that everything led to this specific moment. It was magnificent. I hope that people will not forget how good Willow was in this match. It was a surprise pin. So it wasn't a definitive win over Willow. I mean, it was a fair pin, like, but it was like a surprise one. Like, her shoulders weren't down because, like, she was knocked out. She didn't tap out or anything. They could revisit this in the future. Mm-hmm. The way that it played out is the fact that when they got to the end of the ramp, and the moment Mariah May got that title, immediately she attacked Tony and Luther. Immediately. Like, she didn't even pose for a picture, you know? Yeah. And she didn't even wait because she got what she wanted.
Yep.
And she was done with her. Right. Yep. You were so right when you said that this was her plan the entire time. Probably. Most definitely. And they could play a story out of Luther because, like, people don't talk about Luther enough, but he never liked her.
Yeah.
Absolutely never liked her. Yeah. And she threw him under the bus in a lot of situations in that story.
Yeah, threw him off the stage, too. So.
Yeah. I mean, allegedly. Yeah, so it's absolutely beautiful, and I love this, and I am glad that AEW finally got to the point where AEW ended in such a high note when it came to one of their best storylines, probably ever since starting. Apart from, you know, all the Elite stories, we will always be biased when it comes to the Elite. And Kenny Omega, that's fine. Kenneth. Well, it's a women's storyline. And I know that a lot of people were complaining over the fact that AEW rarely do good storylines now. And I get it. It's way more of an in-ring competition when it comes to AEW. And that's absolutely fine. You can watch WWE for the storylines. You can watch AEW for the wrestling. You can watch TNA for the fuckery. For all I care, you can. And this was just so good, and I love every second of it. I can't see how. I can't wait to see how they play it off next week. I can't wait to see Tony Storm's backstage interview. And most definitely, I cannot wait for this match at Wembley. It's going to be so wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Yeah. Again, so incredibly proud and so incredibly happy with each and every person that was involved in this. I wonder how much RJ City had to do with this. Because it was kind of brilliant.
Yeah. It was. And, I mean, yeah. It was good. And then next,
Mariah May shoved Aubrey. Okay? So you gotta wonder, will she get fined, suspended, or whatever? Like, it makes you wonder.
I think with the Young Bucks, they'll probably kind of do it like, nope, everything's good. I would like to see them get involved some way. Just to kind of be...
I like the fact that they're involved with Mercedes Moné and no other.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I could see them doing that. Like, just...
Yeah.
But before we move on, next week's Dynamite looks like fire. You have you have Ospreay versus MJF. You have Swerve versus Okada. Jesus Christ, those two matches.
It's free television.
Yeah. And people are bitching about that too. So who would have thought? You know,
you just giving it away for free, the bastards. No. Bastards isn't the right word. It's those marks.
Yeah.
Those sickos.
It's for the sickos. Don't
you hate it when there's awesome television and it's for free? Ew.
Yeah. So with that said, Maggie, plug your shit.
Guys, you can follow me on Twitter or X or Twixer or whatever at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Thank you. Subscribe to Fightful Select Tools.
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins right here on X. I'm also on Instagram at Fightful Rob and on Threads at Fightful Rob. And of course, every Friday, I do this show with this lovely lady named Maggie, like you're watching right now, coexisting with Rob and Maggie. We will be back here next week at the same time, 3:00 Eastern. And one other thing that I just thought of, you have AJ Styles, who is wrestling tomorrow in Noah. So that's going to be pretty cool. Noah. That's going to be awesome. And then So I just wanted to bring that up. But anyways, want to say thank you to everyone that tuned in. And we will see you next week for another edition of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. And we will see you later. So peace out.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.